Our scripture lesson this morning is in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. It's on page 829 in the Pew Bible. Again, Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were very afraid. We begin our message this morning. I want you to think for a moment about music. Music has a unique ability to touch portions of our lives and portions of our soul that sometimes mere words and prose cannot reach. It's been said at times that words can instruct the mind, but music has a way to work itself down into the very heart, right down into the very core of our being. And music can move us. It moves us emotionally. It can move us spiritually. And so it's no surprise that a lot of our great moments in life, a lot of our biggest celebrations are marked by music. Just think for a minute what would happen if we took music away from Christmas. Christmas is a holiday that is, you know, very, you know, sort of centered almost, if you will, around music. The music that they start playing way too early and play the entire season through. But, you know, these songs that are so fixed and part of the season, the secular songs like, you know, White Christmas and I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas, right on up through our sacred music. Hark the Herald Angels Sing and Silent Night. These words, these songs, they move us through the Christmas season. What would the 4th of July be without a marching band coming right through the center of town playing Stars and Stripes Forever? So many of our holidays bring along with them music that helps us, you know, really center ourselves on what that day is talking about. And Easter is no different. Now, our Easter songs are not altogether as well known. They're not as ever present as the songs of the other season. But we, of course, have a host of different Easter songs. We can think about, you know, old Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail, hippity-hoppity, Easter's on its way. Or we could sing about a bygone era of sonnets and bonnets and all those sorts of things that come along with Easter. And then there's the sacred songs, the sacred Easter songs that really sing out and proclaim the glory of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, be they hymns, be they modern praise and worship songs, be they choir anthems. All of these songs bear with them the message of the gospel. And a lot of us who have been in church for some time, there's a lot of these songs we come to love, we come to appreciate, and we come to almost expect when Easter comes around. For the longest time, my favorite Easter song, the one that we led off this time of worship with today, we also sang it down at the sunrise service today, is the carol, "Christ the Lord is Risen Today." I chanced upon this song very early in my Christian walk, and I remember a particular Easter. I was probably about 9 years old, and I was terrified that for some reason we were not going to sing it that particular Easter Sunday morning. And so I decided to write a letter to our organist to make sure that she would play it. Now, the backstory of this is we had two organists in my church growing up. We had one that was really good and one that tried really hard. And so I was also praying that this particular Easter, the good organist would be playing. She wasn't. It was the other lady. Miss Nancy was sweet as all get out, but was not very good. But I handed her this letter anyway. I distinctly remember I wrote, "Dear Easter organist, please on Easter Sunday let us sing Christ the Lord is Risen Today." And sure enough, we got to the morning worship service on Easter Sunday, and praise be to God, she prayed it beautifully. We sang it as our opening hymn. It was an amazing entry into worship. Now, my wife's favorite song, or at least the one that she thinks about every Easter season, is Up From the Grave He Arose, which is a long-standing hymn within the Methodist tradition. Only when she was growing up, she thought the words were something entirely different. And ever since I first met Lindsay, I have never sung this hymn the same way again. She was thoroughly convinced it said, "Up from the grave he arose with a mighty feeling in his toes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever so the kids can't complain." Now, there's some gospel truth to that, but oh my. But it's these songs. Songs and music have the ability to stir us. They move us emotionally. And songs are part of our Easter tradition. Easter would sort of begin to lose a bit of the celebration that you and I know and love if we took the music away from it. And I think it's honestly because it seemed for the earliest disciples of Jesus as though there would never be a cause for them to sing ever again. When we think about the disciples, we think about those who had followed Jesus, those days leading up to Easter had been the darkest days they had ever walked through. I think about these women on the way to the tomb on Easter morning, these three women who are going down, and after everything they've just experienced, it was more than just reading words on a page like you and I do. When we hear of Jesus being crucified, they saw it play out in horrible vision right before them. And Jesus was everything for them. Jesus was their Lord. Jesus was their rabbi. He was their teacher, and he was their friend. They loved Jesus. And they had put all of their faith, all of their trust, all of their confidence in him. And then in an instant, he was gone. And they were thoroughly convinced they were never going to see him again. If they were ever going to find a song to sing for the rest of their lives, it would have been probably just a funeral dirge. Our Jewish ancestors were a people that loved to sing. Their worship, the Book of Psalms, is what they worshiped with. And all of their worship experiences centered on music. But in the downcast state of their spirit, in this beaten down state of their soul, they wonder if there would ever be cause to sing, ever be cause to smile, ever be cause to rise again. All they knew was that on that Good Friday afternoon, Jesus had been taken away from them. And now they had no idea what they were going to do next. And so it was on early that Sunday morning, the first day of the week, that we find the three women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and this other woman, Salome. And they're on their way down to the tomb. Jesus' burial had been hastily done on Friday. It was very near to sundown. The Jewish Sabbath and the Passover was about to begin, and they would have been forbidden to do any work. And so Jesus had been hastily buried, and now we find them on the road carrying these spices to anoint his body and to complete the burial process. And I can only imagine how these three women are walking. It's early. It's in the just at the very pre-dawn hours, just as the sun is beginning to come up. And in the state of their spirit, in the state of their heart, I can only imagine they're just looking down at the ground, just watching that next step as they're taking it in front of them. And the only concern they have as they're walking down toward the tomb is, who's going to roll the stone away? They hadn't thought about that before they left the house that morning, but the tomb was sealed with a very large stone that would have taken at least two, if not three, strong men to roll out of the way, let alone these three women. And so as they're walking, as they're just sort of trudging along, their question is, well, who's going to roll the stone away for us when we get there? And I love the way that Mark narrates what happens next. At verse 4, he said, "But when they looked up," don't miss the wording there. When they looked up, for the first time, they've taken their eyes off the road, and they notice that the stone has already been rolled away. The tomb is sitting there standing empty, and they have no idea what's going on, so they dare to go down to the door, and then they dare to duck their heads inside, and when they do, they see a man dressed in white, an angel, sitting where Jesus' body had been. And then the angel brings to them the good news, the message that we celebrate today. "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. see the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him, just as he told you." He is not here. He is risen. As another gospel would say to us, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. And so the women leave that place, and initially they don't tell anybody because they're still shocked about what's happened. But later we know that they shared the news with the disciples. And then all of them in turn would begin to share the news with others. And in time, that news would begin to spread and to spread. And then here we are today, now still 2,000 years later, proclaiming the good news that even at present, the tomb is still empty. The cross stands in victory toward the sky, and Jesus Christ is risen. That's the new song we've been given to sing, this song of victory, this song of praise to our God. Music has the ability to stir us, to move us emotionally. The last number of years, one of my favorite contemporary Christian songs is a song by Matt Maher called Alive Again. And the song Alive Again is really a proclamation of the gospel message of Easter, this celebration of Jesus' victory over sin, over death, over the grave, this victory that you and I get to share in. When we hear the beginning words of the first verse, he says, "I woke up in darkness, surrounded by silence. Oh, where have I gone? I woke to reality, losing its grip on me. Oh, where have I gone?" I woke up in darkness, surrounded by silence. I think of these women. These women trudging along the road. These women bearing in them the sorrow of having watched Jesus die. A darkness surrounded by silence. I think about Peter. Peter, who had vowed that he would follow Jesus to the very cross if he had to, and then denied him three times. Peter, who went away and wept bitterly. Peter, who honestly was sitting in the deepest depths of his despair, a darkness surrounded by silence. I think about the rest of the disciples hiding in the upper room, unsure if the next knock on the door would be the Romans hauling them off to be crucified as well. A darkness surrounded by silence. And then I think about so many of us and the way that we live our lives. And if we wouldn't be in that exact same place, so many people who are living but we're not really alive, that have breath in our lungs and life in our bodies, but we're not really living, we're not experiencing the joy. We work, but we work for the things that don't matter. It's a darkness that's surrounded by silence. I think about people who are beaten down by fear, who are unsure about what tomorrow is going to bring, who wake every day afraid of what's about to take place next. A darkness surrounded by silence. I think about people who are dealing with health issues, unsure of what that next step is going to be, unsure of what that next diagnosis might bring them. A darkness surrounded by silence. I think about so many of us with all the circumstances and the situations and the things that life has brought us. And we've been in those places. Darkness, surrounded by silence. When you ask the question, why is it that we celebrate Easter? The same question I asked the kids a little bit ago now. Why is Easter such a big deal? Why is this such the focal celebration of the church? Why is this the central point of our faith? Why is it that if Easter didn't take place, we can go ahead and go home right now because we're wasting our time? Why is this such a big deal? What does the resurrection of Christ mean for us? The answer is clear. The resurrection of Jesus Christ means that evil, means that sin, means that death, means that despair, means that fear, means that worry, means that doubt never has the last word. Because Jesus Christ has attained victory. Jesus Christ has been victorious over all. And as the song continues to say, the you being the Lord, you called and you shouted, you broke through my deafness. You broke through my deafness. Now I'm breathing in and I'm breathing out. I'm alive again. As Jesus Christ is alive again and stands alive forevermore, so we ourselves share in that same life.
We are alive again. When we find ourselves in the low place, in the dark place, in the depths, it doesn't mean that we have to stay there. Because even there, we're not alone. Even there, Jesus Christ enters in and picks us back up again. When we've been beaten down by fear, when we find ourselves at a place where there's no way out, we know that there is a way. Because Jesus Christ, the victor over the grave, is there. And because of Him, I'm breathing in and I'm breathing out. I'm alive again. In those places where we feel as though life has turned against us and there's just nothing, it's never going to get better. The one who has defeated the cross is there with us and picks us back up. And because of Him, now we're breathing in and breathing out. We're alive again in those places where we've just been beaten down. When it feels like we don't have a friend, when it feels like we don't have a hope, when it feels like there's nothing else to lean on, Jesus Christ is there. The one that walked out of the tomb, never to go back into it again, picks us back up. And because of His life, I'm breathing in and I'm breathing out. I'm alive again. For those of us that feel imprisoned by our past, by past disappointments, by past failures, by past things we've done wrong that we can't escape, Jesus Christ is there. And He picks us up and He dusts us off. And because of His life breathing into us, now I'm breathing in and I'm breathing out. I'm alive again. That's the message of the resurrection. That the things of this world never have the last say, but Jesus Christ has the final word. And because of Him, we are alive again, maybe for the very first time. That's the power of the empty tomb. So this morning, what does that mean for you? This morning, what does that mean for you and what does it mean for me? I pray that we know those truths with the depth of our spirit. I pray that we know that when we proclaim that Christ is risen, He is risen indeed, that it's not just words, but that it's something that has impacted our life in a way that we can't even hardly describe, but all we can do is bear witness to through our faith. I pray that that knowledge gives us confidence, confidence not just for today, not just for tomorrow, but for all time. Confidence that in Christ we have everything we ever need, everything we could ever dream, hope for, imagine, and then some, and that His life is at work in us. Now in these next moments, I'm going to run a video, and the entire song of Alive Again is going to play. The lyrics will be on the screen, and what I want you to hear this morning is Christ's invitation to you. I recognize that this is Easter. I recognize we got places to go, we got things to do, there's candy to eat, ham to get in the oven, family events to get to. But right now we're present in God's house. And as long as we are present here in God's house, I don't want you to miss today a divine appointment, an opportunity to receive Christ's life into your life. Maybe it's the first time, maybe it's the thousandth time. But today I pray that you will feel Christ's life come alive in you, that your spirit would be stirred to greater faithfulness, that your heart would be moved to deeper and more powerful love for God, that we would breathe in His Spirit and breathe out praise, that we would be alive again.